words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The sermon for today, which is Trinity Sunday, I'm calling Thou Art Worthy, O Lord, and is written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. In a fairly recent Bible class, someone asked, what is surely the final, ultimate, and most basic question of all? The question was, why did God do all this? Why is there a universe? Why is there a creation? Why does anything exist at all? I fumbled around for a minute, and then I quoted what turns out to be the last line of today's epistle. The passage is taken from the book of Revelation. St. John is describing what he sees in God's throne room when he first goes up to heaven. He does not claim that this is the act of his fertile imagination. He says it is what he saw. God the Father, who is visible only in a dramatic light show, is sitting on his throne, and he is surrounded by 24 older men who are wearing white robes and gold crowns. It seems evident that 12 of them represent the tribes of Israel, and the other 12 the apostles of the church. In front of the throne are 7 single candlesticks which stand for the Holy Spirit of God, who gives 7-fold gifts. There are also glassy, crystalline, sea-like expanse in front of the throne. Behind the sea and around the throne, there are 4 living creatures who are covered all over with eyes. The creatures look, respectively, like a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle. But they are also clearly angels of some sort. They have 6 wings apiece, and they sing, Holy, 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 just as we do. They connect to angels who appear in the Old Testament books of Isaiah and Ezekiel, and the church has always used them to represent the writers of the 4 Gospels. The 4 living creatures and the 24 elders worship God with praise and thanks. Their song is, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So there we have the answer to the profound question, why is there anything at all? The answer is, because God likes it that way. It makes Him happy. He has created everything, and everything He creates is for His pleasure. I knew a priest who once said, most convincingly, the Lord loves onions, therefore they are. Now his description of heaven, exciting as it is, seems to be only 2/3 of what we need to have on Trinity Sunday. The Father and the Holy Ghost are in the picture. But where is person number 2? Where is the Son? The Son is about to appear with His Father in the form of a lamb who has been killed and then has come back to life, a lamb as it had been slain. In today's Gospel, Jesus the Lamb says that what should convince Nicodemus that he knows what he is talking about is that he has been to heaven. Who could be more believable about the things of God than the only person who has actually been up where God is? Jesus is telling Nicodemus how God recreates creation. God made the creation for His pleasure, and He made human beings to be like Him in His own image, as Genesis says. One aspect of our being made in God's image is that we are free to do as He is, to do whatever we want. God was free to create the universe. We are free, within obvious physical limitations, to make any choice we want to make about our lives. It turns out that human beings use that freedom badly. We set out to act in our own interest, but our perceptions are distorted. So we go against what God wants us to do. We are too perverse to be able to see that what God wants us to do is what is in our best interest. To get everything back on track, God had to intervene. God learned that he had to stop trying to appeal to man's better nature, because man does not have a better nature. The nature we have is corrupted by our rebelliousness and selfishness. The cure, the means of recreation, is baptism. In baptism, someone who has been born for the first time through God's creative activity is born again through a new outpouring of God's creative activity. Jesus says you have to be born again if you want to go to heaven. We have to be born of water and the Spirit. We use water to baptize because Jesus says so. We use the formula, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus says so. Jesus prescribes the Trinitarian formula because in baptism we are taken up into the life of the Holy Trinity and united with it. We are born again as organic parts of God. God the Father adopts us as his own children. We experience the death and resurrection of the Son as we become grafted into his body. The power that makes this all happen and which ties us to God forever is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Trinity is not a theological riddle or a reality that exists only in some misty realm far away from us. The Trinity describes the life of God. The purpose of his life is to send himself out to us and to all of creation. Love and power radiate from the Father. The love and power is the Holy Ghost, who reveals himself perfectly in the Son. We are members of the Son's body. So indeed, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as and most justly do, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.